C1 PR. Number 2B.
I want to point out another tone, big tone, under which I would like to conduct these meetings. And this other tone is the tone of life as spirit. Of life as spirit. And if I say that it is not quite clear what I mean, it's life as spirit from the standpoint of the days of creation, not of the standpoint of absolute science. Now, what do I mean with this? I will dwell on this at length. Life. Which tone of life would I like to be our guiding star through these meetings? You know life, for instance, as the way of life. The argument is, well, you know, this metaphysics is quite nice. It's very interesting. Well, I think one can be quite thrilled about it. But naturally, besides that, there are many other interesting things. And there are many other very comforting and thrilling things. Whatever then one thinks of, psychology or yoga or nature, admiration of nature, and so on. Is that life? Is that life? There is only one life. That's God. And we know that. And therefore, because we know that, that there is only one life, we know that to find that life, and therefore to go on the way of life, is inescapable, is irresistible. At some juncture of our life, we may be interested in many other things. Why not? We may like many other things. Well, why not? That doesn't matter so much. Each one of us has many things to do in human life. But what is in our consciousness? Do we realize that in spite of our many obligations that human life, from morning, noon, and life has on us, do we realize deeply in our heart that one thing is inescapable and unavoidable, namely that life draws me sooner or later through signs of suffering to life. That I must be quite aware that I might like this or that, that I might like this or that besides the divine life. All right, there is no harm in it. But there is much harm in it to think that's also life. That's the harm in it. There is only one life, and there is only one way to life, and that's the word of life. And unless one doesn't make up one's mind and sees that clearly, that God draws us always to life, and therefore we can't escape that way of life, unless we don't do that, we are always in danger and will always encounter dissatisfaction and discord. So in us must be that searching of the heart. We can't escape that. A searching of the heart, which says, do I be quite clear that sooner or later, but finally I must go the way of life? We can be quite honest with ourselves and say, yes, I know I have to. But for the moment I like this and I like that and so on. Well, that doesn't matter so much. The thing is where we start, do I know that I can't escape it? And that I make up my mind and say, I have to tackle that question. And little by little, I begin to go that way. Now, the argument is, well, but there are many ways to Rome. There are many ways to come to life. And each one of us is individual. We say, that's the argument. And each one of us is individual. And so, if I find my way to God through admiration of the nature, or if I find my way through God through psychology, or if I find my way through God through some art, also, that's my individual way. But all ways lead to God. After all, we have but one God. Is that true? That's a very tricky suggestion. Because when we begin to reason things out scientifically, we cannot escape seeing very clearly that there is only one way, and not a thousand different ways to life. What is this way? Life can only be attained. The goal of life we can only approach through the nature of life, never through any other channel than divine life. That seems to be very simple and logical, but its consequences are revolutionary. It says there is only one way to life because there is only one life. But that one way is a scientific way. It's the way through first day, second day, third day, fourth day, that leads to the fifth day of life. And there is no other way. See, this is, in many ways, quite uncomfortable, because it demands of us that strictness of the world of life. And there are not many worlds of God. We always have the one word of life. And so there are not many ways to Rome, or perhaps to Rome, but not to life. Life is the method of living. The way of life is that method of living. And here, I know those arguments. You see, it says, the argument in us says this. It says, yes, but there are many methods. And it says, method is infinite. And it's true. A method is infinite. And yet I say, there is only one method to life. How does the trick coincide? Well, having many gods, we say there is but one God, but we say God is infinite. This is the great question of metaphysics, that oneness and infinitude are not opposites. It seems that one may be an opposite to infinite. It is only if one takes it as a quantity. But if we see, oh no, we have but one God, but this God is not small and limited, but infinite. But we don't say because he is infinite, there are infinite gods. And so because method is infinite, we have no right to deduce from that that there are infinite methods of going the way. Don't hang me up. Of going the way. Sit. Mrs. A says, if you look up the concordance, you will see that Mrs. A used the term method in the singular and in the plural. Well, there is the proof against Max. Use it in the plural. No? No, it's no proof. Because she says very clearly, there can be but one method in teaching Christian Science. Can you see that? There can be but one method in teaching Christian Science. There's only one method. We can't teach metaphysics in any other way except ordered. And that order is definite. It's only one order, the days of creation. Mind, spirit, soul, principle. That's our teaching method. And the going the way of life is nothing else but to teach us how to go that way. But when it comes to healing, she speaks of the methods. Because method is infinite. But you wouldn't say that because method is infinite, you use with every other method another principle. You use always the same principle. And so, this quite clearly impresses on us that necessity that there is no escaping the word of life. If we want to reach life, we have to go the way of life. And the way of life is one way of life. It's that principled way of life where we start with mind, with the divine basis. We just can't start anywhere else in going the way. We can't start anywhere else, whatever we do and work out, whatever we may clear up in our thoughts, it is this, that we have to use that one method of teaching to start with the divine basis of mind. If we start with that divine basis of mind, we just can't do anything else than worship that basis. Think about it. Reflect on it. Think about it. Reflect on it. Think about it. Ponder it. Love it. Worship it. We just can't anything else. But we know that as we do that second step, that unfolds something in us which makes that search definite. And as it becomes definite and renews what has to be renewed in us, it becomes a principled attitude, a completely principled attitude. Then, naturally, that lifts us above the old way. That lifts us out of the rut of the old way. That pushes us forward into the way. Then comes truth, the sixth day, and says, and I lead you somewhere wonderful. Because my nature of life is to lead you always to a bigger sense of manhood. And that sense of manhood is infinite. It's infinite in variety, it's infinite in manifestation, it's infinite. And it's at that tone of love which says, and it's just adapted to you, just right for you, just nicely disposed and adapted for you. So this way, which we see as the word of life, is one way. And in us, there must be something which clears up this thought that each one can go his own way. And that each one in us will just find his solution also. And that we just have to go our own way. That's no principle in it. That sense tries to be original, tries to be individual, tries to demonstrate the fifth day without the first, the second, the third, and the fourth day. Without the principled attitude to go the way. And so, sooner or later, We have to be honest with ourselves and see that that wonderful discovery of John Dolly, showing us that there are days of creation, that these days of creation are the way to the goal. They are not the goal, but the way to it. That those days of creation are inescapable, the one world of life. And therefore, you see, that's again, if we couple that with science, again we can say, how wonderful. Therefore, I know the way. I know the way, because it's the way of the world, of the scientific interpretation of the world. I know the way now. I don't have to go into the darkness and just find out of myself how to go the way. It's now clear-cut and presentable. I'd just like to dwell on this point a little further, because I know how stubborn really in us this sense is which says, oh, well, I have my own way. I will find my own way. Well, Jesus, just to take him as an example, and perhaps a few passages from the Gospel, will tell us again this simple, but so profound, so far-reaching in its conclusion, that sense that there is but one way, and that one way has only one aim, the Father. See, for instance, he says, the way is narrow. In Matthew, you know that sense, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads into life, and few there be that find it. Well, if everyone finds his way, because everyone is individual, therefore everyone finds it in his individual, then the way must be broad and not narrow. He says, no, there is one narrow gate, the word. And unless you don't fulfill mine, the angel stands before the door and says, I don't let you pass. Unless that sense of mind is not coupled with spirit and the worship of spirit, the angel says, I don't let you pass. I only let into my realm what is of the nature of mind and of spirit. And it says, and if that sense of worshipping your basis is not coupled with that sense of soul which says, I'm strict about it, I'm perseverant about it, I don't give in, I stick to it, the angel at the door said, I don't let you pass. I don't let anything in which is not definite, which is halfway, which is neither fish nor fowl, we say in German. Says only that which is definite in your mentality. And so he says, the gate is very, very narrow, the way is very narrow, and there are few that find it. Why are there few that find it? Because it demands of us an enormous sense of being willing not to be original. We think if we are original, we are individual. We aren't. We are only individual when we are undivided from life, when we are undivided from the world of life, when we are undivided from the nature of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, and only then we can go through the gate. It says of Jesus that Christ is the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. So he always makes the condition how we reach the goal. That's what Cautioning the Truth wants to say. He says, you can't just jump into the goal and say, well, God is infinite, and God is all, and God is all life, and oh, we are so nice and happy therein. And then what? Says, well, first go the way.
first approach, approach. It's slow, it's gentle, but sturdy, and it leads to somewhere. Jesus only showed one way. He said, I come forth from the Father, and I'm coming to the world again. I leave the world, and I go to the Father. See, he had but one goal of his way. Always when he was speaking about where he is going to, he never said, I'm going to have a fine career. He never said, oh, I'm going to heal everybody. Oh, I'm going to have a wonderful house. Oh, I'm going to be the most successful businessman. That I'm going to the Father. That's my way, and that's my job. And he said, and it's your Father. It's your way. If you go the way, he gives you on that way whatever you need in the human to go that way and not to hinder you on that way. He says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. But why should he do it also? And so he gives the reason why he should do it also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. That's so deep. He said, well, why should you be able to do the works? You can do the work, but why should you be able to do the work? Only because I go and you must go to the Father. See, there is only one way and one aim in science. Though its implications are infinite. But the implications are secondary, are effect. And unless we go to the root, the effects will not be healthy. Unless the root is healthy, the effects will be healthy. Whole, complete, natural. Therefore, he says that very lovely thing, if ye love me, ye would rejoice. Because I said, I go to the Father. You know how Peter wanted to hold him back, not to go to the Father. You know how the patience wants us to go back and said, no, don't go to the Father. Give me your house. Give me my good business I want. Give me my auto car I want. Give me my healthy body I want. Don't go to the Father. Just give me what I want. Go, come to me. Come to the problem. And Jesus said, no. No. He said, I go to the Father. And he says, I can do the works only because I go to the Father. That's my way. And that's my aim. And so he said, if you love me, well, then, if you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. So let's go to that which is wider and bigger and more wise than our thinking out a way and thinking out a problem, than picturing out a solution, than picturing out our mission. We'll see that tomorrow in prayer so wonderfully, that sense. Said, no, go and take the all. Go to science, to the Father. But to come to science, you can only come to science through one way, and that's the scientific way. And there are not many sciences. There's one science, and therefore one way. So simple these things, but my golly, sometimes I think how deep they are. How the thousand problem of every one of the 2,500 million people of this world today can be reduced back to some fundamental points. And if we have them, we have it. But the snake, the serpent comes and says, no, run after your problems. I want to have my little problem solved. That's what I need. Afterwards? All right, yes, afterwards. I would like to give some time to my study. That's all rubbish. It's harlotry. It's trying to use God for a little thing. That's the harlotry of today, of which the prophets were writing in their day. That's the Babylon. The Babylon, that materiality, which doesn't want to take perfection. It only wants little bit of perfection, but doesn't want to take the whole. It needs in us a bigness, and it's not always easy to have that bigness. But being aware of it is the first point, it's mind. Being aware of the problem is the starting point. Then we come to spirit, and we begin to worship it. And when we begin to worship that, then it will not fall. Will become alive in us. Well, you see, that's what I would like to be the tone of life, in that combination of life and spirit. It is that sense of life which takes away the burden of trying to solve every day so many problems and never come to an end, because the basis is not corrected. Therefore, life is that wonderful thing which says to us, I'm the word of life. You can't come to the word of life and go the word of life except through the word of life. You can't study the word of life except through the way of life, the word of life. You can't go the way of life except through using the way of life. There is no other way. It's straight and narrow. But it says, this takes away all the rubbish from your shoulders. And instead of trying to improve the human conditions, the material conditions, here a little, there a little, it naturally presents that again, that big problem of cautioning the truth, which says, do you want the signs of physical harmony, or do you want the signs of spiritual ideas? If the latter, all right, that means weaning away from materiality. The signs of physical harmony doesn't ask for a weaning away of materiality. But the way of life says, I only can let through the gate that which is purely spiritual. And so that leads me to the second tone of spirit, which I would like to couple with that life, namely spirit as life. Life as spirit. To go, that would mean to go that narrow way of the word of life, that word which we have studied and studied, but from the point of view of spirit, of worshipping that word of life. That will be the next thing I'm going to talk about.